We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Breaks a tackle, watch out! Burst of speed! Look at this freshman!
Welcome to the home of professional football, Canton, Ohio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the College to Canton podcast, the perfect show for any and every college football and NFL fan. I'm your host, Travis May. You can find me on Twitter at FF_TravisM. And I'm joined by my co-host, Stéphane Lacoe. You can find him on Twitter at Stéphane Lacoe. That's L-A-K-O. And if you're joining us for the first time, the College to Canton podcast is a show about the journey of the best football players in the world, from being prospects in high school, throughout college, through the NFL draft season, all the way to the discussion as to who should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we always talk about some fantasy football, since this is a RotoViz radio podcast. But we also make sure to dive into some real college football and NFL analysis too. And this week, the topic that we're going to jump into right away here and just kind of fly through a bunch of information here for you is depth chart day, because I don't know if you follow college football very much, a listener here, but depth chart day is fun because all the big teams across all the country had their first game, for the most part, unless they played in week zero this past weekend. This weekend, within the next 5 or 6 days, we're going to have 84 games with an FBS football team in it. So I cannot wait to see a whole bunch of guys break out for the first time and see some of our favorite players just absolutely smash. But before we jump into depth chart day and talking about some breakout candidates and some of our favorite players that are in a good spot to do well, got to welcome my co-host here, Stéphane. How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude. It's been a while since we've been doing this together. It's been like a couple of weeks here, so it's fun to be back on the show with you. And we've been teasing the listeners with another show with both of us on it, and they'll get two this week, which will be awesome. So I'm excited to be chatting with you again.
Yeah, man, it's been fun, you know, putting together just like kind of short, quick hitting episodes and everything. But I do miss having a guest on with me because it really gives me a newfound respect for like radio hosts and people who have to do long form shows for, you know, a half hour, hour at a time. And because, you know, when you're on by yourself, there's no one to help kind of fill the space. You don't pitch it to somebody else and they fill in the blanks. you basically are the only voice. So if you stop talking, the show stops. And so it's right. Funny, like you don't want to make it a mess to edit and post. So you try to string everything together. It just requires a lot of prep, a lot of stats in place so you can just kind of fly through the show. So it's always fun for me to just get those kind of reps and practice because it's not an easy task. So thank you for being yeah, seriously. But thank you for being the person that I can just pitch it to when I need to, you know, just take a drink.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like when I do a show with Matt, only the other way around, because Matt just talks the entire time.
Oh, Matt, yeah. Yeah, and Matt, I would say he'd get angry at that, but he just knows it's true, so.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love it. He's fun.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the college football focused episode this week, but really it is relevant for the future of the NFL too, because all the players we're going to dive into today could be playing in the NFL before we know it. And so really just to kick things off, I guess just why explaining depth chart day again, pretty much all the teams, for whatever reason, release their depth chart like within the same 4-hour window every single year. It's fantastic because most of the time, there's not a whole lot of brand new information throughout most of the offseason that just drops all at once. But, you know, for like 100 teams to drop their depth chart in the same day, it's just so much information to sift through. So hopefully we can help you do that and identify some players that could break out early, some things to take away. And so jumping off right away at the top, got to talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide because they're just always better than everybody for some reason and send a bunch of players to the pros. And they are pretty much NFL University looking at the past 10 years in terms of giving us fantasy viable playmakers as well. So up top, I don't know what your thoughts were, Stefan, diving into the depth chart of Alabama as they released it today. Obviously, Bryce Young was going to be the guy. Paul Tyson was never going to start for Alabama. And Jalen Milroe was a true freshman. Huge dude, like 6'4 and just ripped, but not really going to be the guy this year. Bryce Young, obviously the 5-star talent, looks to be the future NFL draft pick on the team. Based on how we have him ranked, it's kind of just assumed he's going to be in the first round discussion after absolutely exploding this year. But running back, I thought it was interesting. Not really surprised, but it was just cool to see it confirmed that Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be the guy this year, at least to start things off. And then you had Jace McClellan and Trey Sanders and Roydell Williams kind of sharing that two slot. I found that interesting that they kind of had that split between the three, didn't you?
Yep, I sure did. And I think it's interesting, too, because, man, if you were just looking at like Devy ADP for running backs, mm-hmm. you would not have had Brian Robinson as a starter for this Alabama team. I mean, I think he was going third or fourth out of as far as Alabama running backs this year. And now he's going to be the starter. And we know that Alabama running backs, when they're getting the bulk of the work, they friggin' produce. And they usually end up getting a little bit of draft capital too, even if they're, you know, 4-year or 5-year players. So to me, this is really good news for people like myself who were willing to wait for the Alabama running back position and go ahead and get Brian Robinson. I was just looking at some ADP stuff, and it looks like he was going 25th amongst running backs in yes. Devy. That's crazy, man. He's going to be such a smash value this year.
Yeah, and if he does just stay healthy, I think that's going to be the player to kind of watch to see how his draft capital continues to blossom this year. It does remind me a little bit of like that Bo Scarborough year, you know, when he did kind of get day three capital and he was kind of like a league guy there, but he kind of struggled with health. So I think if Brian Robinson just stays healthy, though, he'll get more capital than Scarborough did. But it's funny, just everyone was so confident that, oh, yeah, it's Jace McClellan. Jace McClellan's backfield to own. It's going to be him. And at the end of the day, he could be the running back 3 this year because Trey Sanders, he looks healthy in camp. He's been the buzz running back that's flying up the boards, flying up, getting some hype again. And Trey Sanders was the number one overall running back in his class just a few years ago. So to see him climbing back, it could be fun to just see an absolute stacked backfield there with a 1-2-3 punch between Brian Robinson, Jace McClellan, and Trey Sanders. Obviously, I'm still fading Jace McClellan at his value in Devy because he's basically a second round pick, and that was never ever good process based on what we knew this spring or basically at any point in time, because he basically only did something in 4 games last year. So I'm excited to see what that looks like and just to see how that plays out. But wide receivers, transfer in Jameson Williams immediately starting. I thought that was cool. And Matt Wispay is probably, you know, saying, I told you so right about now, because, you know, Jameson Williams couldn't crack the depth chart for Ohio State because, well, they have 6 NFL players currently on their depth chart right now. Transfers to Alabama to get playing time. So that's
nuts.
Insane. Then they have John Mechie, obviously at the X, and then the H. I found it cool that JoJo Earl right out of the gate is sharing the starting role with Slade Bolden. So we kind of had a discussion as to how long we thought it would take JoJo Earl to overtake Bolden there. I think it's going to be pretty quickly. I know some people don't as much, but JoJo Earl looks like the typical Alabama wide receiver that just we've come to know and love in the past few years. He's got that quick twitch, insane speed, yak ability, He could do something great this year, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of it will depend on how Williams and Mechie do. I think if they're both producing really, really well, they might feel like they can kind of ease JoJo Earl in. But I think if they're needing production, I think they're going to find ways to get him involved pretty quickly. And I think once he starts seeing the bulk of the snaps, it will be hard for him to stay off the field. You know, yeah. I just think that he's a different, when we've talked about it, he's just a different type of athlete, even compared to other players at Alabama. Like, he's special. And I think it'll be hard for Slade to keep his position as a starter for you know, half the season.
Yeah, for real. This does remind me a little bit of the 2017 absolutely stacked class that they brought in. You know, they had Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and for those that actually remember, what was his name? Tyrell Shavers. Yeah, I couldn't even remember it because he's transferred two times. But that class was absolutely stacked. All 4 and 5 star talent at the wide receiver coming in. But they had to wait their turn. They didn't really do a whole lot, at least until nearly the playoffs that year. And then, you know, Tua Tagovailoa hit Devontae Smith to win the national championship. Then he actually ended up exploding into the wide receiver one for the team thereafter. But we might have to wait for Ajayi Hall to bust out as he's still listed with the twos, and Ja'Cory Brooks is still listed with the twos. But I am excited just to see what happens with JoJo Earl, because I think he fits the modern mold of what Alabama asked their wide receivers to do. Ajayi Hall and Ja'Cory Brooks look more like the, you know, the Julios or even Amari Coopers of old that Alabama used to like to feed. So hopefully they grow into roles here soon, but we might have to wait a little bit there. And I did think it was interesting that Julio Billingsley wasn't listed as a starter at tight end, but I think it's just a doghouse thing with him and Nick Saban. There's been a little bit of noise about him disappointing in practice and such. So I think he'll still be a target at some point. But
well, just Billingsley's going to more have that receiving role than the blocking role, I think, too. So I think when it's, you know, 3rd and 8, you'll see Billingsley in there. Of course, how many 3rd and 8s will Alabama see?
Yeah, probably none till like November.
Yeah,
but
that's it. Yeah,
yeah. moving on to North Carolina, a team you and I love to talk about because it's really interesting. I just talked about this in my piece over at solidverbal.com, doing some college football writing over there now on top of the Rotoviz stuff, and they lost what, almost 50 touchdowns and almost 5,000 yards from scrimmage last year to the NFL draft in the form of Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, Dyami Brown, Daz Newsom. And this week they're going to be without Bo Corrales. So tons of opportunity to be had for a completely new cast of playmakers. Ty Chandler, you and I are pretty high on him. Running back transfer from Tennessee. A true freshman, Caleb Hood, listed with the second string at running back. He could be, I guess, quote unquote, come out of nowhere kind of guy, because he wasn't that high pedigree true freshman. He was an athlete designation for former quarterback converted to running back, and no Kamaru Edmonds whatsoever on the two deep right now, because he did just come in late. He was not there for the spring like Caleb Hood was. So that's going to hurt his early impact at the very least. But are there any players besides Ty Chandler on this North Carolina squad that you're super excited about?
Well, I mean, you and I were talking about him right before we hit record, and that's just Josh Downs. I'll be curious to see what he can do. He only played in 4 games last year, but he had 3 touchdowns. He proved that he could be a big play threat. He averaged 17 yards a catch. I'm excited to see what he can do. They even try to get him involved in the rushing game. So, like you were saying, like before we started, like this is going to kind of be his show. I hope he's up for it, and I hope he's ready for the moment, because the spotlight's going to be on him. I do, we are joking as well, I do kind of like Caffrey Brown, but that's because when it gets late into C2C leagues, I just find myself gravitating towards players that have siblings in the NFL.
Yeah.
So Deami's little brother, Caffrey, he's pretty small. He's only 190, but 6 foot. I think he could carve out a role for himself as the season gets going. He did fine last year. He had, you know, a couple of big plays. He was another big play threat, averaged over 20 yards a catch. I think it was like 22 and a half. There's, like you said, there's so many vacated targets. There's so many vacated yards. There's so many vacated touchdowns. I only counted 49 in my quick math here, but that's still just absurd.
Only 49 yeah. touchdowns missing from last year's.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, we know that this team is going to put up points. We just don't necessarily know who's going to be scoring all the touchdowns. So
yeah.
there's just so much opportunity, and I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see what happens. Sorry, I was just looking at the UNC stats from last year, and I saw a dude named British Brooks, and I was like, "There's a British Brooks and a Britton Brown," and that's really confusing for me.
Yes, Britton Brown, of course.
Britton Brown go off for UCLA, but
yeah,
Britton and British, and they both. Yep. Anyway, sorry.
Exactly.
Go off on a tangent.
No, that's all good. But, you know, Josh Downs is listed. He's going to be the slot probably for them. The high volume role that Daz Newsom played just 2 years ago for the team, probably going to be slotting in there. And then Emory Simmons and Antoine Green listed as starters, getting the nod there just because they're upperclassmen out of respect. But frankly, Caffrey Brown was the more explosive player and actually produced last year for the team. So I think there's going to be kind of an outside rotation at wide receiver. Bo Corrales is going to be in that rotation. It's probably going to be four guys. They're probably going to all have to prove their stars early on to see who's going to be the favorite go-to, the trusted target for Sam Howell downfield, because we know Sam Howell has one of the best deep balls in the game. He's going to keep chucking it. It's not all going to be underneath stuff to his running backs and underneath stuff to Josh Downs. So it's going to be exciting to see which wide receiver breaks out there with a future first-round quarterback tossing them the rock in yeah. Sam Howell. But Ty Chandler, you know, he's probably going to be in line for 1,200 plus yards from scrimmage, at least, right? I mean, at least that, if not like 1,500.
I'm so excited. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be really good. And I will say, if I can play a Garrett Walston kind of early at tight end, could be a sneaky little cheat play. Anyway, we don't have to go on DFS. I'll do that on my other show with Matt.
Yeah, man. But it should be a fun offense again. And man, if Sam Howell does what he did last year with a completely new set of weapons, just give me him first overall. You know, it's just like he already posted 90th percentile passing numbers, was mobile enough. If he proves it with a completely new cast, that just puts me over the top for him at quarterback. But moving on to Texas, because Texas is back, right? They're always back. At least not
undefeated, baby. Undefeated.
Undefeated at not being back is Texas Longhorn football. But the first thing that jumps out right away, is Bijan Robinson, because he averaged like, you know, almost 12 yards per touch down the stretch last year in his final four games, which is a decent, I think, if I check my notes correctly. But they did put Hudson Card officially as the starter, even though Casey Thompson was ridiculously efficient in the Colorado bowl game.
Can I talk about that real quick?
Sure, go for it.
I'm actually going to the Colorado game on Friday. Woo woo. So they're just right down the road. I watched quite a bit of CU football. One of my best buddies is a hardcore fan. We're both alum, so you know it's my team.
Yeah, not really, there's like but, four
you know,
of you,
kind of. Yeah. So I watched them because they're also on TV. They lost their best linebacker the week before, like the final game of the regular season before that bowl game. They were kind of devastated by injuries. And they were just kind of trying to scrape together a team against Texas. I think a lot of the hype around Casey Thompson in that game particular, because that's what I hear a lot of people talking about. I wasn't surprised when Hudson Card won the job. He's got so much more upside. To me, Casey Thompson can kind of take what's out there. I think Hudson Card has a capability to grow into a skill set of being able to create things out of nothing, able to improvise and just play really solid, really smart football. So I'm excited for this move for Texas. And I think college football is more fun when Texas is good,
yeah,
even though I don't root for them.
Oh, yeah, I don't root for them ever. But it absolutely is more fun when they're good. And it makes all their rivalry games more fun. And they're going to have to be good once they get to the SEC, or they're just going to...
It's going to be so bad.
It's going to be so bad. So, but yeah, Hudson Card, he's probably somebody we're going to have to launch up our rankings pretty quickly, yeah, because just how Texas has used their quarterbacks. I mean, maybe it's just the Sam Ellinger era that has me fooled. But man, if he's mobile at all and he mixes that with his incredible arm talent and he has some okay weapons to toss it to, he's probably going to be rising pretty quickly here shortly. But speaking of the weapons he has to toss it to, Xavier Worthy, true freshman. He's been nothing but a hype machine this offseason because he was supposed to go to Michigan changed and his mind and pulled out of that. And Michigan was like, okay, we're not going to hold you to it. And so he transferred to, or changed his mind to, Texas, and immediately was apparently the best wide receiver weapon that they had. And Joshua Moore was good for them last year, but kind of faded later on. Jordan Whittington also listed as a starter this year, but he honestly hasn't looked like the same five-star talent since he continues to struggle with injury year after year. So Xavier Worthy has like 4.4 speed, legit 4.4 speed, and is going to have a fun quarterback with an arm to toss him the ball, and he's a yak machine. For me, he is probably the number one candidate to break out in a ridiculous way among any true freshman in the nation. So I'm excited to see this whole offense with Bijan being perhaps the running back one, and Xavier Worthy looking like the wide receiver one perhaps in this, in his particular recruiting class or NFL draft class in 2024, because that's a real year. And so lots to get excited about.
So this is going to sound like an insult, and it's not. But you know how like your high school team and the like the varsity team and the JV team, they play the same offense. It's just, you know, the upperclassmen and the studs, and then you've got all the, you know, the sophomores and the guys that aren't good enough on the JV team, but they're trying to play the same offense. It's the same scheme, all that. So yeah. Texas is the JV version of Alabama.
Like, it's, yeah, it sounds mean, but I get what you're saying completely. Yeah,
but like now that Sark is there, I think they're going to try to, like, what we've seen Bama do recently with their quarterbacks, with their wide receivers, with their running backs, the style they've been playing. I think we're going to see that. And I think, to your point, Worthy's got a shot to do something really, really special, given how I think Sark is going to want to use him in this offense. So all I'm saying is no one will debate that Texas's roster is not as talented as Alabama's. That's all I'm trying to say. I think it's going to be like the 1A, the 1B, but more like varsity and JV from Alabama to Texas. So all that to say, I think you're absolutely right. I think Robinson and Worthy are going to be, I mean, Bijan's about as high as he can get anyway. I don't think he's going any higher in people's ranks, but, yeah. But Xavier Worthy is someone who I think could be special. Dude's tiny though. Yeah. I think we might have another BMI debate with him.
Yeah.
Cause he's think, like what, 160? Is that what you have written
it
down
just
here?
Doesn't matter what, honestly, what you are in high school, like, players just completely change their bodies in many cases. So if he adds 20 pounds throughout high school or even close to it, probably won't be an issue. But he's just such a burner and a yak threat that that's not really going to be an issue when it's all said and done. At least
it's going to be fun to watch him. It's going to be fun to watch him this year.
Oh, yeah. He should smash right out of the gate and fly up some boards. We're going to have to adjust our ranks here soon if he does indeed go off and have him up there pretty quickly. And facing the raging Cajuns that, you know, they're bringing back a whole lot, but I'm not sure that they're bringing back a whole lot of people that can keep up with real NFL speed. So Worthy could have a huge day in his very first college game. But
yeah, I'm waiting for that number to drop just a little bit, and then I'll bet Texas. But
do it, man. Do it, man. I've been playing around with a whole lot of lines for this coming weekend. So many freaking games to just dig into.
Love it.
But Texas A&M, another Texas team, just we'll get away from Texas in a minute, I promise. But Texas A&M, just want to mention this because Anais Smith is apparently full-blown wide receiver now. He's been back and forth. He's been this hybrid player. I think he'll probably still be in that role some, but I just found it interesting that he was listed as a wide receiver, not even in the backfield depth chart. Anything else stand out to you? I mean, Isaiah Spiller and Jalen Weidermeyer, the slam dunk, obvious early NFL draft pick plays. Anything else stand out to you, though?
No, I think Anais Smith was one that I was curious because he was such a dynamic. Like, as good as Isaiah Spiller is, when A&M needed a big play, they were going for it on third and short or even fourth down, they would get him involved. It'd be a quick out pattern to him. It'd be even like handing him the ball, even though he's not near as big as Isaiah Spiller, you could tell that the coaching staff really trusted him.
Yeah.
And so I still think he's going to have a hell of a lot of rushing attempts, more than any other wide receiver, you know? So while he's listed as a wide receiver, I do think his role will be similar, but I will say if they do allow him to focus more on just his wide receiver skills, I think he's a guy who could be a lot of fun. So he's definitely a player that I'm excited about. partially because I bet pretty heavily on an A&M game last year, and he pulled me through. So I
love the guys that pull through and help you out with the wallet as well. But and another team with a really fun new quarterback in Haynes King. Should be a super fun mobile dual threat there too. I hope hopefully that doesn't dig too much into the rushing totals for Isaiah Spiller this year. But
I think Isaiah Spiller needs a quarterback like that though. I think when their play calling gets too predictable, I think Spiller can struggle against some of these better SEC defenses.
Yeah.
So I think with King's ability to run the ball himself, to keep it on an option read play, I think that will open up a lot for Isaiah Spiller. I think it'll be a benefit to Spiller as far as efficiency goes.
And it will be interesting just to see if they design that kind of thing. I feel like they didn't do that enough with Mond and his mobility. So hopefully they add a few more wrinkles in there and use the mobility of Haynes King at quarterback for them as well. But we'll hit up a few other teams, break down a few other depth charts and a couple of names to know that could break out this year. But we'll do that on the other side. But here first, a word from our sponsors.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I just want to take a second to thank you for tuning in to today's show. My name is Colm Kelly, co-host of the Road of His Overtime podcast, along with the great Sean Siegel. We do appreciate each and every listener, and as a thank you to each of you, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a Road of His NFL pass. We're heading at full speed towards the season. Make sure you're ready. Get yourself access to all the content and tools up on the Road of His website. All you have to do is add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout to get yourself that 10% discount. Now let's go and dominate those fantasy leagues in 2021.
All right, so we hit a bunch of the big teams already, and we'll get to a few other big name teams that should be in late season contention here in a few. But first, just got to dig into a really terrible roster real quick, just because I find it intriguing, and I live here in Middle Tennessee, and they do have a few players that could be playing on Sundays here soon that a lot of people overlook because, well, you know, Tennessee has been a dumpster fire for a good few seasons, and all their good players transfer out of the program. But Jalin Hyatt is a name that I want to talk about just for a second, because he's basically been the brand this offseason. He accounted for about 17% of the team's receiving offense last year in the games in which he played. And he should go off this year, and given that they're missing even more players than they had from a year ago. And he looks to be the feature. And of course, is, you know, he has some other guys that are going to compete for targets, but they're like Cedric Tillman and Velus Jones, who's literally a sixth-year player, a transfer in Javonte Payton. He came over from Mississippi State, and he's never really done anything. So they don't have a whole lot of proven depth around him. The problem might be the quarterback, because they list Joe Milton as the starter, But do you have confidence that Milton can actually get the ball to Hyatt and make him, you know, look good from an analytical perspective?
No. Milton is bad.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's just a Harbaugh problem up there in Michigan all the time. I know it's easy to blame him for some of this stuff, but the dude has a career like 56.6 completion percentage, and his adjusted yards per attempt is less than 7. Not good, man. So I am nervous. But honestly, if he struggles like I think he will, I think Hendon Hooker gets the job before long, or even like give it to the youngster Harrison Bailey. Sure. But I just think if with Joe Milton there, I think it's going to be a problem. I just don't think he's going to keep the job long enough for it to really hurt Hyatt in the long run.
Yeah, no, Milton's numbers last year, even through the most positive lens, you know, he's like a 50th percentile efficiency passer, like even in his good games.
Even in his good game.
Yeah, he basically had one. His only one, his first one. And then teams were like, oh, yeah, we can stop that. And I'm really skeptical as to Joe Milton. Hendon Hooker already has a 90th percentile passing efficiency season with incredible mobility. He wasn't, quote unquote, chosen by the new coaching staff. But when it comes down to it, I think Milton's going to struggle against SEC competition. And Hooker is the veteran who can plug and play. Harrison Bailey might be a better future play for the program, but he's not as good of a fit and doesn't have the same level of mobility. So Hooker could be the guy that comes into play, and that would probably be better for everyone involved. So I'm hoping that is actually what happens. As far as the running back goes, though, yes, believe it or not, even though Eric Gray transferred out and is now with Oklahoma, and even though Ty Chandler transferred out and is now with North Carolina, Tennessee does, in fact, have running backs on the team. It's true. Jabari Small is going to share the load with Tyon Evans. And Tyon Evans is a name that I think a lot of people may need to familiarize themselves with, because Tyon Evans was the number one transfer running back in the country this year, immensely productive at the JUCO level, and comes into a situation where they're going to need him to do a lot. And he's got feature back size. He's 5'11", 220, and can catch passes. So he could be the Eric Gray, and Jabari Small could be the Ty Chandler from a year ago. And hopefully, given their pace and how much Josh Heupel is going to have them moving the ball, and they're going to be playing from behind a bunch, so maybe they add some receptions too, Tyon Evans and Jabari Small could be pretty productive from the running back spot this year for Tennessee, and could both start to get some hype.
Yeah, and Josh Heupel does like to give multiple running backs the ball. I mean, last year, when he was with UCF, we saw both. I remember Otis Anderson. I don't remember the other guy's name. McCray, something like that.
Yeah, Greg McCray. And even like Bentavious, what's his face? Like he was, like, they were spreading it around.
Yeah. Last year. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for both these guys to show what they can do. And if one of them separates, I think they might be the lead guy, but no one's going away. Yeah. We'll see a lot of both these guys, because that's just how Heupel likes to run his offenses. And it's not like if Milton's a quarterback, you're going to be producing a whole lot through the air. Man, it's too bad. I mean, this team, if they could have brought Dylan Gabriel over, man, that could have been fun.
Oh, man. That would have been something else. But, yeah, that's probably enough Tennessee football talk for the entire year. Let's move on to Clemson, you know, a team that actually has a chance at doing something. DJ Uiagalelei is going to be the real deal. He was already the real deal last year. He's been the real deal since he was 15 years old, frankly. I mean, he's been stealing the spotlight since he took the starting job from a reigning state champion and the guy who was supposed to be the focal point of the former, you know, Netflix QB1 series. I don't know if you guys watched that show, but DJU basically took the job in like the second game of the season. Never let it go. He's not allowed a rambunctious, you know, personality. Trevor Lawrence wasn't either. He just lets his game talk. He's 6'4", 250 pounds. He's incredibly mobile, but has a rocket for an arm and just put up gaudy stats last year in both the Boston College and Notre Dame games. Going to smash, going to be the first overall quarterback taken, in my opinion, in 2023. So I can't wait to see what he does with all the weapons that he has, because Justin Ross is back. Frank Gladson and Joe Ngata are are healthy right now, knock on wood. And EJ Williams is actually good as well. So they're four deep at this set of guys that all look like just dominant alpha X wide receivers, which look, it's a little bit different than the weapons that they had last year. So who do you think actually goes off at wide receiver for Clemson this year?
I have been struggling so much with this question all off season. I've wanted to say Justin Ross just because the pedigree and then the production before the injury. None of these other guys have really produced like what we would want to see from an alpha wide receiver. And it's not because they didn't have good quarterback play, as we know. So yes. I'm really curious which one of these guys can make a name for himself. Like you said, like all of these guys have just fantastic. They're all 4 or 5 star guys. They all have just amazing recruiting profiles. They all have amazing athletic profiles. All of these guys that we're talking about are 6'3" or taller.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. So I'm really curious what's going to happen here. And to be honest, how I've been playing it in Debbie and how I've been playing it in C2C is I'm taking the cheapest guy because to me, close your eyes and throw a dart. I have no idea. Justin Ross is the one I like the most if he's healthy, but we don't know. So yeah, if I had to put money on it though, I'm going with Ladson, but I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, it is interesting just how they list it this year. Justin Ross he's by himself in the, looks like he's going to be basically a big slot type role for them this year. But then the other three guys, they have Joe Ngata and Frank Ladson at another wide receiver spot. And then Frank Ladson and, or rather, EJ Williams at another spot. So it looks like the other three spots for wide receiver are going to be pretty rotational, at least early on. So I'm sure it'll probably settle in with one or two guys primarily being the focal point alongside Justin Ross. I think that's probably the safest bet in my book, just because we've already seen Justin Ross account for over a quarter of this offense when he is healthy. And yes, he's only been practicing for what? I mean, 3 weeks, I guess, since he's been cleared. I think it was at the very beginning of August that
he was officially like a sixth or something. Yeah,
it was early August that he was finally cleared to practice after having the what could have been a career-ending diagnosis last summer. But he's back. So if he is really back, I think he's going to be the first go-to. But Joe Ngata is my wide receiver one in his recruiting class, just because what he did physically, just nobody else in the class did. I mean, he was 6'3", like 210 or something as a 17-year-old and stretching the field like crazy. So he has everything that you want as far as the measurables go. And Frank Ladson and EJ Williams have a little bit more twitch maybe, but they're also a little bit more like a rail than he is. So if anybody's going to smash and be a surprise success that hasn't blown up just yet, I'm still believing in Ngata to do that. Some people may be surprised at the running back position, that it's Lynn J. Dixon and Kobe Pace instead of the 5-star true freshman Will Shipley, but that's been the noise ever since the spring, and that hasn't changed one bit. Lynn J. Dixon, obviously the guy that was often replacing Travis Etienne late in games, after the game was basically over after a quarter, Lynn J. Dixon would come in. But Kobe Pace has been the guy who has looked the best, apparently, according to all the beat writers and all the coaching chatter. And even when I had a conversation with one of the offensive linemen earlier this year, he had nothing but positive things to say about Kobe Pace. So he could be a name that we have to re-rank and rank a little bit higher if it is that Will Shipley doesn't take the job by midseason, which could happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting too. Like these two guys combined, Pace and Dixon combined for like 60 carries, but only 8 receptions last year. Yeah. All the passing game was right through Travis Etienne. Man, I'm so bummed he's injured.
Yeah.
But so I'm curious if they use Dixon and Pace more as the rushing attack, and then in third down, like if they just go with a third down back with Shipley and kind of get him worked in, because he's such a great
athlete.
I mean, he's a track star. He's got good hands. I could see them kind of working him in a third down role early, unless it's like pass blocking, maybe not. But again, I don't think you're too worried about that in most games in the ACC from your running back. So I'm expecting to see Shipley maybe get more targets and carries early on this year.
Yeah, and just get him involved and find ways to maybe break a big play with him. Just because it's going to be impossible to completely keep him off the field this year. I think he eventually takes that job, but will be fun to just see that rotation, because it's going to look a little bit different than the, oh, it's obviously this guy at running back for Clemson. But moving on, Notre Dame, another team who could have late season competition if they decide to get rid of Jack Cohn as their starter at some point. But I found it interesting just because I am the biggest Tyler Buchner fan that he was still currently ranked as the third quarterback on the depth chart right now. But I think really I feel like that's just Brian Kelly protecting Jack Cohn, because all offseason, not just me or fans like me, Debbie nerds like me, but the entire fan base for Notre Dame has been clamoring and smashing their keyboards on the message boards, demanding that Tyler Buchner be the guy to just right away. And I'm sure Brian Kelly's just ticked and done with that, because obviously Jack Cohn has way more experience and can probably plug and play right away and be just fine and be the statue that we know him to be. And he's not going to win you any games that mean anything, but he can get you far enough with a good rushing attack, I guess. But I just found it was funny that they're just trying to be coy and by putting something called a Drew Pine ahead of him on the depth chart. Anyone else that you're remotely interested in that was a surprise? Because Kyren Williams is going to smash once again, and Chris Tyree is probably going to do good things on the ground too. Any wide receivers you're interested in?
I mean, I'd like to see what a healthy Kevin Austin Jr. can do. He's someone that, you know, we were excited about once upon a day. Another guy that I'm interested, I kind of like Lorenzo Styles. He is not listed as a starter. He's a backup, but I'm curious to see what he can do. But the passing game is going to go through Mr. Michael Meyer. Like we all know that. So I think, you know, his sophomore year is going to be exciting, because he could really put himself in a position like we were looking at Kyle Pitts, you know, only he could do it a year early, you know, as an underclassman. And so to me, like it's a really amazing opportunity for him to just put himself as like, yes, I'm going to be the next early first round tight end drafted, similar to Pitts. So yeah, he's the one I'm most interested in, probably.
He's one of the safest bets for draft capital in all of college football. At this point, he had over 40 catches as a true freshman, came in as a five-star tight end. He was already a complete player. He basically could have gone pro out of high school if that were legit. He was already 6'4", 250 coming in. And so crazy. It's absurd for him to do what he's already done. I don't think the volume is going to be there necessarily for him to, you know, explode from a production standpoint, but that might be the case if they can't get much out of Braden Lindsay and Kevin Austin. Lindsay and Austin were the guys that were talking up last year in camp, but both struggled with health. So if that happens again with Lindsay, that could be what leads to Lorenzo Styles Jr., a true freshman that you and I both like. You mentioned him to break out. But Kevin Austin Jr., there's been hype surrounding him for 3 years now. But that's just how Notre Dame rolls. They're just they like to waste people's careers early on and then give them some late career action. But Oregon, I want to let you talk about Oregon here for a second, because there's a couple interesting things to take in right away with the Oregon depth chart.
Our defense is going to be nasty. That's all I'm going to say. No, I will say a lot more than that. I was not surprised at all that Anthony Brown took the starting spot here. To me, that was always the plan. And the reason why is because, Fresno State should be a pretty doable game for any quarterback. But then next week, the following week, you've got Ohio State on deck. And to me, if you throw the freshman Ty Thompson into that, you're just not setting him up to succeed. So to me, you put your veteran in there, your senior quarterback Brown, and if it just isn't going anywhere, and even like not that I'm expecting Oregon to beat Ohio State, if they can keep it close, Brown might keep the job. I think if Brown struggles mightily, it gives them a nice opportunity to start working in Ty Thompson more. So to me, this is the safest and this is a smart play. It's also how Cristobal plays. Like the dude is conservative. He wants to win at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't want to go crazy and start trying to do new things. So I think they're going to rely an awful lot on CJ Verdell, and my favorite running back, Travis Dye.
Good name.
I was not
name.
At all surprised that they were both listed as the starters. To me, Dye will take on more and more of that role. The dude's just so efficient. Unbelievable player. Great receiver. I don't know if he's ever going to get the NFL draft capital that he deserves, but really love him. I can't wait to see what he does this year. And the only other exciting news is, I guess, Troy Franklin being the starter out the gate as as the highest recruited wide receiver ever at the University of Oregon. Excited to see what he'll be able to do. Of course, my boy Micah Pittman. He's going to be there too. Again, his brother does play in the NFL, so you know.
Yeah, that helps.
But Pittman's also going to be returning kicks. Man, he is so talented, and his career has just been slowed down so much by injuries. If he can stay healthy, I really, really think he could be really special. The problem will be with anyone on this team is that there's not going to be a ton of volume, and they have so many different receivers. They've also got Johnny Johnson III, and Jalen Redd is also listed as a starter. So they just use so many different wide receivers that there's going to be a real difficulty to gain a whole lot of a target share that is going to be...
Looks like it's super meaningful. Yeah.
So yeah, those are kind of my thoughts.
Yeah, man. I found all those things interesting that you said, because they returned so much, so many veterans. Like Johnny Johnson should be gone. Jalen Redd should be gone. They're both veterans times a bajillion. Like I think they're both fifth or sixth year guys at this point.
Even CJ Verdell's been around forever.
Yeah. So they have a lot of veterans. Anthony Brown, he's in his last year. So Troy Franklin might not pop right away. A couple other interesting names, Dante Thornton and Chris Hudson, really young guys that could be the next generation, but we might have to wait for really what we quantify as a breakout season here at RotoViz for year two. But it's fun to see them already making the second slot in the two deep, or in Troy Franklin's case, being a starter right out of the gate, because that doesn't happen very often, especially at Oregon, especially when there's so many veterans already there. So looking forward to the future there. If I was a Ducks fan like you, I would be excited just about this year and their chances this year if they can get some decent play out of Anthony Brown, but as well as the future with Ty Thompson already sliding in, almost taking the job, and all those wide receivers that look like a lot of fun. But a few other notable names, I just want to mention Stephen Carr out of Indiana taking the running back job there. Demetrius Robertson starting at wide receiver for Auburn. A former Georgia guy was over at California and looked like he was going to be a star. Disappeared at Georgia, now resurfaces at Auburn. So that could be fun. And then Lawrence Toafili and Jayshon Corbin in Mike Norvell's fun offense that he took from Memphis over to Florida State. If he, with a full offseason to work with them, gets them to look like the running back one and two duos of old out of Memphis, that could be really fun for them also. And then Jalen Berger, just something to keep an eye on, because Berger struggled with health here recently. Chez Malusi is going to get the nod at start for Wisconsin, transferred from Clemson this offseason. But I don't think that he's going to maintain that starting job. But, just interesting to note that Berger's two right now behind him just because of the health issues as of late. But Berger should be the guy to go off still at running back for Wisconsin, in my opinion. But Stephen Carr, I've got a question for you, because you're a Pac-12 guy. Stephen Carr was supposed to be the truth years ago for USC before his back surgery. Do you think that he can still sneak into some early round draft capital?
No, if I'm being frank, but I'm also pretty low on Indiana in general. I think they're going to really struggle this year.
I'm offended.
I know. I'm sorry. I thought you were a Purdue guy.
Though. I am. But I'm from Indiana originally.
So. I know.
Yeah, you say Big Ten. It's fine.
Yeah. No. No, you're right. I think he could struggle a little bit. But I liked him. I always was kind of terrified of him as a Ducks fan. But there's just been so much movement. It's hard to know with a lot of these running backs. Like, it's almost hard to keep track of them. Like, so many guys coming in and out of all these different
schools. Goodness.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, transfer portals made this so much fun, though. Just like, wait, how that guy's there now? But seriously.
Oh, even like the Nebraska game. Like, was it Step that caught that one? Like, yeah, Marquis Step. I was like, I forgot that you transferred to Nebraska. What are you doing there?
Yeah, exactly. But Stephen, listeners, if you're not familiar with Stephen, Carr, it's because you're a normal human being. Stephen Carr shared the backfield with Ronald Jones back in the day. And as much as NFL fans love to hate on Ronald Jones, Ronald Jones was a very good college running back. But as a true freshman, Stephen Carr looked like he was better than Ronald Jones. And didn't have as much work necessarily, but he looked like the absolute truth before he had a back surgery that completely altered the course of his career, and he hasn't looked like the same player since. However, Indiana loves to give their lead feature back about 20 carries per game, and his only real competition just transferred out to Purdue and Samson James. They still have Tim Baldwin there too, I guess, but Stephen Carr could be in line for a huge workload with a decent quarterback if he's healthy, and that could be fun. Stevie Scott was the guy who they gave like 20-plus carries a game to last year, and he went undrafted, but that was because he was a plotter. And Stephen Carr, if he's healthy, is not that. I think he could still make a difference. I think he can sneak into some draft capital if he goes off for Indiana like I think he could this year. But that's about all the time I think we have on this episode. Going to give you two kind of longer form episodes this week. One college here and one NFL later in the week with both Stefan and I. Also, we'll keep bringing it on both sides of the ball, college and NFL all season long. Be looking for our content at RotoViz, written content, and on the College Decanton feed and RotoViz Radio. But thank you, Stefan, for joining me as the co-host. I guess I'll join you as the co-host Thursday. Is that how we're going to do it? Just pitch it back and forth? Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. Well, you can find me on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. You can find Stefan at StefanLeco on Twitter. But you guys, hope you guys are enjoying football season, and you guys can look forward to many more episodes here in the near future of the College Decanton podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.